The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Back on Get Up, and it's time for Get Your Eyes Checked, brought to you by National Vision. Guys, bad weather in Chicago. What's this guy doing here?
We haven't. That's the fight of his life right there. The fight of his life.
Is that Nagy?
Where's the... That is dirty.
That was funny. Offense?
Apparently, that's your seat, and you've never done this? That's what I don't understand. Like, you should be better at this.
Oh, my goodness. And you know what? That was balmy compared to what we had in Buffalo last night, which is a perfect segue into our next hour of Get Up Here, which we come to you live, as always, from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. We are jam-packed and Saturday's in a good mood, and you're about to find out why as we get up with what we can describe as a Monday night masterpiece. How Bill turned a three-club win into first place in the AFC. What did it mean? Because in so doing, we are now officially on a collision course. Bill, Brady, in the Super Bowl, why you should absolutely expect it to happen. Plus, no breathing room for the boys. Is this season about to become their biggest disappointment ever? All those and more as we get up with you starting right now. All the weather in Buffalo last night, game of the night, game of the year in its own way, and the uniqueness of Adam Schefter blown out of a chair before the game gives you some indication of just how windy it was. And then, so it's a night where you got to run the football. And Jeff, Saturday, the Patriots did it so well. Watch this here.
Toss, crack, weak, safety overplays it. Harris cuts that thing back, taking it to the house early. Love this play call. Physical football for the rest of the day.
Damian Harris, a 64-yard touchdown as the Patriots started with 10 straight running plays, including the two-point conversion. They're not kicking it. They're going to the corner, Jeff.
Does that look familiar? It should, because it's the same play, getting two extra points. You got to love it. Patriots ain't scared to run the plays back-to-back.
It's 8-0 Patriots. Now, the one thing, Dominique, if you're New England, just don't make any mistakes.
Yeah, they gave him the short field because N'Keal Harry couldn't get out of the way of the ball. I imagine the wind was probably making it difficult to track, but you shouldn't be within 20 yards of that thing. Yell fire and run. And
instead, as you see here, it grazes the face mask. And so the Bills take over in business. They're at the 14-yard line, and here's the very first play, Jeff, after the turnover.
Look at the velocity on that ball. That is a 100-mile-an-hour fastball placed perfectly in the bread. You could not catch that ball.
Gabriel Davis, the catch. It's 8-7. This, Dominique, is the only pass Mac Jones threw in the first half.
Yeah, I guess arm strength matters in this win, but Mac Jones threw that pass, and I think Bill Belichick was like, we ain't doing that no more.
Yeah, Jonnu Smith made the catch. Later in that drive, here comes Bolden for a gain of 16. Nick Folk would kick a field goal, so the Patriots were up 11-7 at the break in a game in which Bill's team would only throw three passes. Third quarter, same score. There's a big play here. Josh Allen's going to try and run for a first down, and they're going to call roughness on the end of this for the hit. Jeff, is this a good call?
Trash call. Listen, he's trying to extend to get the first down. Like, what's the defender supposed to do? Watch him extend for the first down. Can't stand the call.
Dominique?
Yeah, player safety is important, but also being fair. Like, it's not even a risky, dangerous play.
And he
right
just
there.
Touched him with two hands.
Turns Come into on. A field goal, so it's 11-10. Now it's 14-10 in the fourth. Josh Allen runs it so well.
Wow. I mean, he did everything last night. Listen, he did everything he could do to take his team to a victory. Obviously, it didn't work out, but man, that kid, he's fearless.
Puts him in the scoring area here, but how about the defense from the Patriots all night?
They learned from that last play, and they did not over-pursue on that rush angle. They kept him in the pocket, took him down.
So Tyler Bass is going to come on to try this one from 33 yards away. Take a look at this wind.
Whoa!
Would that be a fade?
No,
that's a
slice.
That's a slice. 14-10 is the remains of your score. Patriots punt. Allen's got another chance. But I tell you what, he zipped it through that wind. The Bills threw the ball more than they ran it last night, for better or for worse. That's Stephon Diggs with the toe tap. But here's your big plays. Third and 14. Last second chance the defense needs.
Yeah. Again, they kept him in the pocket because of the coverage in the back end. They made him look for somebody, make a tough throw. Great breakup by Phillips in the end zone.
Adrian Phillips knocking it away from Dawson Knox. So then here's your ball game. Fourth down at the two-minute warning. Last chance for the Buffalo Bills. And again, the defense, they bring everybody. It's broken up at the end, and the Patriots hold on to win one of the strangest and most consequential games of this NFL season, 14-10. Mac Jones, what?
Just a crazy game to be a part of, but we knew if we didn't turn the ball over,
we'd be good. So it was just a weird day, but at the end of the day, you just get more points than the other team, and it's a great day.
Just hats off to the offense, really, everybody, probably besides Mac. He really didn't do nothing besides hand the ball off.
We're loving it in here. He might have handed the ball off the whole game, but the Belichick game plan worked to perfection. This is a masterpiece. They ran the ball 46 times and threw it three. Oh. On 61% of their offensive plays, they had an extra offensive lineman on the field. I'm a little worried about Jeff Saturday. How would you describe the emotion?
It was glorious to all my people. This is what football should look like. I mean, did you see the beauty, the art? Behold beauty at next level. This thing could not. This is the greatest game since, 1974, before I was born. Fewest attempts. I love Judah talking about, hey, Matt, he don't get any credit for this, so just hand it off. I love this football game, the plan. All analytics were blasted, metrics thrown out the window. Physically impose your will leads to victory.
Oh, this was a game from the 90s, the 1890s. Army Notre Dame, 1897 with two forward passes, back when they still included the word forward. So that's one lineman's perspective. Marcus, as a defensive lineman, what was your perspective?
Distraught. Absolutely distraught. Because I've been on the side of this. And if you're a defensive lineman in the NFL, you have suffered this before. I don't care who you are. When you know exactly what's happening and it's nothing you can do about it. The physicality of the New England Patriots dominated the Buffalo Bills at the line of scrimmage. That's what it boiled down to. Yes, blocking schemes were important. Yes, the toss was blocked up very well. But ultimately, we saw this team running in the center of the line of scrimmage, popping off 4, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12, 13-yard runs when you needing to get off the field and try to get your offense the ball back. This is one of those times. I want to tell the American people, this is one of those times where the film review is the most devastating thing about your career after you play a game like this. This is when your defensive line coach comes into the meeting room and says, guys, we all gonna get fired. My family is going to be hungry because of the way y'all played defense. This is as bad as it can get, man, for a defense. The great thing about it is 24-hour rule, put this one to bed, figure out how you can get better. But there is nothing good about 46 rushes for 222 yards. Nothing.
And that said, Dan, it is a very small man, comparatively speaking, who stands on the New England sideline, who gets the credit for this. Yes, I mean, Bill Belichick, in a year in which he has gotten all the credit in the world, it feels like a masterpiece.
He's obviously a detail guy to the extreme. So he knows the weather forecast. He knows what they're preparing for. The whole week was built around a run-centric game plan. Then they get there last night, and he walks out to the field, comes off the bus, walks out to the middle of the field, and he looks around, and he's like, this might be worse than we thought, right? Let's really lean into this. So it's like, if they were joking all week, like, oh, maybe we'll only throw it three times. Turns out they weren't joking. They actually threw it only
Super Bowl
times.
Level excitement. Look at this hug. That's not Belichick. I feel like when you win enough Super Bowls, you live for games like this. Like, he's going to tell his grandkids, one time I won a game, we only threw that thing.
He is going to tell them.
sit on my lap.
And they're going to be like, Grandpa, that's
when
great.
When I won an NFL game with a Service Academy offense.
But let's talk. I mean, no one knows the Service Academies better than he does. His dad was the coach at Navy and everything else. But here is the real thing. I don't feel like too many coaches. There's the Navy mask that he had on last night. I don't think too many coaches would have had the guts to do it. I think it takes some level of courage of being impervious to criticism. Because if they lose that game, the whole world is going to say, well, and he just doesn't care about that, or maybe he's just beyond that. Yeah. Like, I think there is a genius in being willing to do that last
night. He's beyond criticism. Like, there's nothing that's going to stick to him. He has an amount of goodwill with fans and media that no other coach in the history of football has. So he can get away with doing that. But what he did, or what the team did last night, was incredibly impressive, and I'm sure – he was ecstatic about
it. If that game is played in a dome last night, how is it different?
Don't change. Probably worse for the Bills. Oh, listen, I'm telling you, think what you want. Think about the Bills. They played the Jacksonville Jaguars. They got outplayed physically. They played the Indianapolis Colts, got beat down physically. Played the Tennessee Titans in October, got beat down physically. Don't believe that if it was 70 degrees and sunshine, it was going to make any difference. Again, you just heard Swagoo talk about it. Scheme don't change somebody whipping your behind. When you line up with six offensive linemen and they got 10 dudes in the box and you're still running it at them, there's no schematic change that you make. It is, we got to do something and play better. Our players have to be better in this situation. That is the answer. They're in the scheme change, folks. It is, we have to play better and hunker down differently on defense.
I think that's the foundation of what we're talking about, right? You're right that he doesn't care what the outside perception is of what he does or how it looks, as long as he wins the game. But for this to be a Bill Belichick team, which it very much is, it has to be strong on both lines. That enables him to change his game plan week to week based on the opponent, based on the weather. He knows his guys up front are going to beat the other team's guys up front, and everything works off of that.
Let me say something just to show you. You asked Dominic a question about criticism and concern.
Yeah.
If you watch the Manning cast, just watch it for the first 5 minutes. Like, Peyton and Eli were like twitching. Like, they didn't even know what to do. They were like, it's 3rd and 5 and they're running it. Like, I don't understand. Like, they were just, they had no answer. That's how defensive coordinators feel. They're like, wait a minute, why are they not doing what everybody predicts them to do? He don't care. I loved it.
I'm with you. They loaded up the box and they still ran the ball, which is impressive. But the idea that they would have won this game with that same game plan in a dome is just absurd.
But
you guys getting carried away.
Because
they will not be going up against a team that's only going to score 10 points. You're going to have to score more than 14 points.
That's why I disagree
will require
you
to throw the football at some point.
You remember Sean McVay's offense in the Super Bowl?
Okay, we're going to cherry pick.
Did you remember the Eagles' offense in the Super Bowl?
Like, it's not like they are impervious to getting scored on. They can get beaten.
All right, I will come back to this game, but I want to do something called a different game. It's called Awesome, Awful, and Awkward with Week 13 now behind us. Swagoo, out of the whole weekend, give me something awesome.
Awesome was seeing the Detroit Lions win on the last play of the football game. This team was heartbroken all season long, chasing their first win. And you see the excitement. You see how much these guys respond to Dan Campbell. It was a great thing to see the Detroit Lions get a victory and then give their coach the game ball in the locker room. That is what football is about. Don't matter the record. Every Sunday is a new Sunday. We're trying to get dubs.
I love that. But, Neek, give me something awful.
The Vikings. On the other side, this coin has two sides, and it wasn't just that final play. That team don't got no wins. And you're supposed to be one of these NFC teams that everyone's afraid to play. You're in close games. You're better than people think. No, you're not. You lost to the worst team in the NFL and saved them from having a completely embarrassing all-L season. Well, with one tie, this is as awful as it was awesome. That was the Vikings.
Jeff, give me something awkward.
Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan's plane ride home. Like, how awful is this? He threw two awful interceptions. He gave up a safety in his own when his tackle gets just trucked and knocked on his back. I mean, it like a 99-yard drive that comes up one play short. Like, it could not be. Kyle Shanahan is thinking, what did I do to myself? He thought he had the right guy. This thing is getting ugly in a hurry.
There are a lot of questions out there. I mean, why are they running run-pass options with Jimmy Garoppolo when you drafted Trey Lance?
We're going to do this because this is the thing. Every time Jimmy G play well, I hear, well, they win with Jimmy Garoppolo, and he led them to the Super Bowl. Everybody got to stop lying and start telling the truth about who Jimmy Garoppolo is. Jimmy Garoppolo ain't never led the San Francisco 49ers to no damn Super Bowl. Kyle Shanahan did the same damn thing we saw Bill Belichick do to go to a Super Bowl. And second of all, Kyle Shanahan obviously didn't feel all that great about Jimmy Garoppolo and all of these wins because they drafted a damn quarterback number 3 overall.
That's right. And if they had drafted Mac Jones, he'd be playing for them right now, and they'd be in better shape than they are right at this moment.
Trey Lance should be playing
conversation
for them.
Trey Lance should certainly be running a run-pass option in that situation. We got a lot of questions about them. In the meantime, we'll get to some questions about Baltimore coming up. The Ravens are still on top of their division. What exactly is going on with Lamar and that offense, and can it be fixed? We'll get to that in just a moment. Plus, one of the biggest games of the season is in D.C. this weekend. Why, one of my friends here thinks that Dak and the Cowboys will win this one easily. We're talking about it. Get up on ESPN. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. All right, we're back on Get Up, and our game is called Hold 'em or Fold 'em. Dominique, I'll start with you. The Las Vegas Raiders, you going to hold them or you going to fold them?
Oh, Vegas, that's the right place to start for this game. Mm-hmm. But the wrong team, fold them. They are not very good. They've been through a lot this season. The ups and downs are too much for them to overcome. Derek Carr, I think, is underappreciated, but this team, this roster overall, is not good enough to win enough games to get into playoffs.
Jeff, I'm coming to you next. Those 49ers we were just talking about, hold them or fold them?
I'm going to hold them at least one more week. Listen, I know they played awful against Seattle, but I think maybe Shanahan used a little Trey Lance in the RPO game, get him some touches and some carries, help him out because Jimmy G is on the struggle bus right now. Got to get him some help. This thing's got to get better. I'm going to hold him for now.
Swagoo, let's go to Cleveland. The Browns, you going to hold them or fold them?
I'm going to fold them, man. I just don't think continuity is there. Baker's super injured. They don't want to go with Case. This defense is still giving up points. I'm a fold on the Cleveland Browns. It hurts me to say that because this was a dark horse Super Bowl contender for me at the beginning of the season.
Me too. Yeah, at least one idiot on this set picked them to go to the Super Bowl, and that idiot was me. In the meantime, they're at the bottom of what is one of the two divisions in the sport where every team is at least 500. So they still have a chance. Everyone still has a chance. You see RFPI, likes the Ravens to win the division, but everyone's still in there and has a shot as we go down the final month of the season. And so earlier this morning, I meant to get to this, and we got sidetracked into a good conversation about the Ravens and their struggles and just how good we think they can turn into. So let's actually ask the question that matters here. Someone's got to win that division. Who's it going to be? Let's put the picks up there. Graziano, at the end of the day, who's going to win that division?
The Brown, gold, rave, steel. I'm going to give you the Bengals because I think the Bengals beat up the Ravens. They beat up the Steelers twice. I know the Browns beat them. Yeah, I'll take the Bengals. I'm going to change it in an hour.
Well, there's just an inconsistency there, right?
Yeah, all their losses are dumb, right? They lost to the Jets. They lost to the Bears. Like, they're this close. They should have beat the Packers. They make a kick. So I feel like in this – impossible to pick. That'll be my pick.
They sort of gave away the game this week against the Chargers, at least with the two terrible turnovers this week. Jeff, I'm going to go to you next. Who is the team in that division?
I'm going Bengals as well. Last week they had two offensive linemen who were banged up and out, so that didn't do nearly as well with Mixon. The fumble late from Mixon absolutely killed them. They were down two points, and they were coming back for this. If I had to trust anybody right now, I'm trusting Burrow. I mean, that's the reality of that division. Yeah. Is if I look at all quarterbacks, say which guy would I have to pick, Burrow would be my guy right now. That's where I'm headed.
Marcus, you're next. Which team is the best team in the AFC North?
Damn! Cincinnati Bengals, man. Wow. Everybody forget I had a cup of coffee with the Baltimore Ravens. It hurts me. I love to see the Baltimore Ravens win. I just feel like the turnovers and the attrition, and don't forget, y'all, Marlon Humphrey has went on IR. Yep. That is huge for this football team going down the stretch. So I'm going to go Cincy because in a league that we don't know what the hell going to happen, that's the team that seems to be the healthiest and the most consistent, even in some losses.
Well, he had a cup of coffee. You had like a full breakfast buffet with the Baltimore Ravens. You have to pick the Ravens.
Leave me alone.
You have to pick
the Ravens. Leave me alone. There it is, right there. My choice.
Leave me alone.
Yes. Like this division is impossible to pick. And yes. I think the Ravens, they have the lead, so I guess maybe that's who you go with. But Lamar is not playing well. That defense is decimated by injuries. I don't know. And I don't trust any of these other teams. You guys are wild. Did you watch that game last week?
Actually executing the segment instead of
you are
popping out.
Don't let the man tell you what to do. Don't let the man tell
Shout
you what to do.
We're
a little
smile.
Better about the Browns this week because they didn't play.
Yeah. They had the best week.
All right. It is time now for what we call Swagoo's Revenge.
Let's go.
Ooh. I know some just people in this league need security. Everybody ain't getting dumped around here. This long gone mother-in-law. He needs a new security guard. They better find somebody quick. Athleticism is a trait of being a security guard. And when you don't have none, you get your quarterback killed by a little guy. Like when the big dude run up on one of the little dudes and then you find out he a damn MMA fighter and you get beat to sleep. You need new security.
Great line.
All right, so Jeff handed out the pancakes earlier. Here's Marcus's revenge. Take it away, big fella. Who needs security this week?
I'm going right back to Michigan, my man Aiden Hutchinson. He is not playing with people. He's actually going to be in New York at the Heisman ceremony, but two people decided, hell no, we ain't blocking them. We're going to go and let them win the Big Ten championship and get into the college football playoff. Shout out to you, Aiden Hutchinson. Hey, y'all, this wasn't even the most impressive run. He did, in this game, run through somebody's face mask as well. For they big physical offensive linemen and they can block. Aiden Hutchinson said to hell with all of that. I'm getting in this club. Last, next, second, Vita Vea. Matt Ryan was like, bruh, y'all don't know number 50 is a big athletic guy that can dance as well. Let him come just straight through the center of the line of scrimmage, run up in your house, open your refrigerator, eat all your food, kick your mom and daddy and the kids out the house and tell them I live here now. Can't nobody else move here. That's Vita Vea. And then he ride the pony. Oh, he's swimming on this one. He's swimming. He had two in this game where he rode the pony. Last but not least, Carlos Dunlap. Lord have mercy, Jimmy Garoppolo. Listen, man, first of all, offensive lineman, Jeff Saturday. We noticed Jeff Saturday put this on the damn pancake video. Man. Carlos Dunlap said, we can pancake two on the defensive side of the football. And Jimmy G, what the hell you doing? Are you not in the weight room? How in the hell you give up a safety with a man with one arm pulling you down? Now, I know Carlos Dunlap strong, but can you drop your hips, Jimmy G, and get out of the end zone? So not only does the offensive lineman need new security, Jimmy Garoppolo clearly can't be his own security. Both of them got punched in the eye and shut the club down.
Swagoo. The first one with Hutchinson, like the swim and the swim, that's like how y'all start every practice on the bags. It's like slap, swim, slap, swim. He did it. I've never seen it happen in a real game. It's literally a drill that we start with every day in practice.
Look at the hill.
Yes, sir.
That is unbelievable.
That's practice showing up in the game. That's practice showing up in the game, Jeff Saturday. I know y'all be looking over there at us during practice when we individuals saying, damn, they working hard. Why are they running so much? Why are they sweating? Why are they got so much? Why when they come to 9:07, they already tired? For everybody at home, you leave individual practice in the NFL and you go to a drill called 9:07 where the offensive line and defensive line do a run period. But
you go
the
to
offensive
that
line never acknowledge that we tired as hell from doing them drills. Aiden Hutchinson just did.
That guy could wind up being the number one pick in the draft. All right, as we roll on, they met once. Why Brady and Bill this season might get the rematch. And if so, why it might look totally different from the first meeting. Plus, sneaky Hembo for Graziano. It's a great question. Which coach quarterback tandem did Belichick and Brady beat the most times? We got the answer next. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, They're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
The V Week at ESPN, our partnership with the V Foundation, highlights the urgent need for cancer research and the elimination of racial disparities in cancer outcomes. You can learn more and help support by visiting v.org/donate. 100% of your donation goes directly to cancer research. All right, back here with the question. This is a good one. Which coach quarterback tandem did Belichick and Brady beat the most times?
Your mind goes right to the division, right? Because they play them all the time. But there's not been a lot of consistency in coaches, quarterbacks in the AFC East. I wondered if, you know, if Rex Ryan had had the same quarterback in both places, but nothing jumps to mind. Somebody they played a lot, including playoffs. My guess is going to be John Harbaugh and Joe Flacco.
Oh, you're off by one.
Come on.
Off by one. The answer is Mike Tomlin and Ben Roethlisberger.
That was the other guess.
That was seven meetings.
Wow.
Harbaugh and Flacco, six.
Well done, sir.
Along with Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez, also six.
Right.
So all it's
right.
Tomlin and Roethlisberger by a hair. That's a fair question. I'm giving that one to Hembo. No question. We'll put the scoreboard up there. All right. He's within a touchdown right now. A two-point conversion could beat you at the very end.
Not a lot of time left.
So we'll, no. But the season is running out on Hembo. We'll see what happens. We're talking about the Patriots and Bill Belichick a lot this morning because, oh, he had a masterpiece last night in the snow and the wind in Buffalo. Guys, let's get to it here. For anyone who didn't watch first quarter, this was a night where the Patriots just ran it, and in this case, very well.
Yeah, toss, crack, safety overplays it. Harris cuts back, going to the house, starting physical football early, gets six on the board.
Yeah, that was a 64-yard touchdown run. They go for the two and get it, so it's 8-0. Then after a muffed punt, Josh Allen finds Gabriel Davis with a rifle. Bills cut it to 8-7. Ensuing Patriots drive. Dominique, this is the only pass Mac Jones threw in the first half.
Yeah, and it was scary. That thing got tipped up. I think Bill Belichick figured out at that point, no more throwing.
It's 11-7 Patriots at the half. Fourth quarter, it's 14-10. Tyler Bass, now the wind just takes that one away. So the Bills are still down by four. They get a last chance at the end, but the Patriots defense just outstanding.
Oh, yeah, the Patriots did a good job keeping him in the pocket right now. The coverage in the back end plastered. He had to make a tough throw right here. Easy to break up for Phillips, but still an outstanding play.
Yeah, it's just draped all over Dawson Knox, but it's legal. And then that sets up fourth and 14, last gasp Buffalo. They bring the blitz, and they got no answers. Patriots win it 14-10. They have control of the AFC East. They're the one seed as we speak in the conference. Sean McDermott, what?
Let's not give more credit than we need to give credit to Bill Belichick in this one. It was, whether it's Bill or anybody else, they beat us, right? But you sit here and you tell me when they start with the average starting, when we start with the average starting field position of the 40-yard line and he starts with the 23-yard line, and I'm rounding up in both cases, and we were 1-for-4 in the red zone, and they were 0-for-1 in the red zone. You give me that ahead of time, I'm saying I like my chances. I like my chances.
All right, what is that? I mean, what is he talking about there? I mean, that the only touchdown that their team scored came on a muffed punt that barely grazed the face mask of N'Keal Harry. I mean, Marcus, what? I like Sean McDermott, but what the hell is he talking about?
He ain't talking about nothing. He in his feelings.
Yeah,
he in his feelings because he got beat by a team that was better than his football team, and he went in that game thinking his team was the better football team. Bro, he made the point. You had four opportunities. They had one. Like, what are we talking about? When you look at Buffalo, they had a lot of situations where I was like, why would they do that? Why would they do that? Why wouldn't they use Josh Allen's legs a little bit more in the red zone? We all know the Patriots' red zone defense has been elite for a long time. The last play of the game, I like it. Right read, all of that. Great play by Phillips. But who in the hell ain't going to try to get Diggs the ball? Like, I just, listen, there's a lot of things that I had a problem with. But more than anything in that game, even beyond the rush, is that foolishness we just heard from Sean McDermott. Give Bill Belichick all the credit, bro. He ran the ball 46 times and beat your team. Yes, he deserves a lot of credit.
No, but he's, I mean, I'm on this side here. I have to move on to the next thing, but we just got that one, or, you know, when someone just brought that one to our attention, and it certainly surprised a lot of us for him to say that. These teams will meet again in a couple of weeks. We'll see how that one goes. In the meantime, you know, you got Belichick on one side here, and you got Brady. Now, don't miss the latest in the series Man in the Arena, Tom Brady, which is presented in part by NerdWallet, Episode 4, Goliath's Debuts, today exclusively on ESPN Plus. Here's a taste of what you can expect.
We were hitting Tom so fast and so often that there were times you felt, this must be a screenplay because I'm getting in too fast. I'm just going to dump it over my head. Once I saw him slam the ball a few times, starts yelling at his lineman.
I'm seeing it in his face. He don't know what to do.
I realized it's not a setup.
Pressure on Brady.
And that D-line that day was impossible to stop. I mean, we had great players up front trying to block them, but they were just unblockable.
Now, what a game that was. You don't want to miss it. Episode 4, Man in the Arena, Tom Brady, streaming exclusively on ESPN Plus right now. And the way we do these things, the odds and the analytics and all that kind of stuff, tell us that right at this moment, the likeliest Super Bowl matchup is the Patriots and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Neek, is it going to happen? Going to happen?
I mean, I trust the numbers. I think it's the likeliest thing to happen if you have to pick those two teams. And right now, when you look around the AFC, I think that the Patriots have as good a chance as anyone, especially if they secure that home field advantage. The NFC side, I think it's a little bit more up in the air, but the talent's there for it to happen. And boy, would the NFL be happy with that result.
It may be a fascinating matchup. Lucky. And you know what, Jeff, these teams played each other in 1917. Yeah. I don't mean the year. The final score was 1917. It was so long ago, it feels like it was that long. But Brady felt, he looked like he felt it. And this is a guy who started 10 Super Bowls. It looked like that game got to him in a way that almost no other game ever has.
Yeah, we talked about it leading into that week. It's an emotional week. Whenever you've been somewhere that long and you go back, it is personal. I mean, as you walk in the stadium, everybody that you've said hello to for 20 years, they're still there. And you're still saying, and all of a sudden those nerves, for lack of a better term, begin to grip you. You start to think about those. It becomes emotional. You're not playing, you know, distraction-free football, which we know Tom Brady is all about and has set his life up that way. So this was a tough game for them to get the win. Obviously, they get it. But you're right. I think the Super Bowl would actually be easier for him to play than going back and playing in New England.
As crazy as that sounds, you feel like it's going to happen, Graz?
I think there's a chance. I mean, look, Patriots are the one seed. Bucks are going to have to fight their way out of that NFC.
Yeah. Right?
Arizona is completely legit. Green Bay is going to be heard from, I think,
healthy
in all of this and getting healthier, absolutely. So that to me, is the trickier path. But right now, I mean, I don't know what the combined percentage is, the most likely Super Bowl matchup. I'm sure we have that somewhere, but I mean, that feels like a thing that we're sort of barreling. I saw the Buccaneers play on Sunday. It looked like Brady was playing Madden. I mean, like, it was like it's just target practice, except for the one.
Yeah, that one terrible play.
But when he's got Gronk and he's got Fournette, and when he gets Antonio Brown back, he's got his guys. Those feel like they're his guys. What do you think, Swagger? Are we looking at Bill versus Brady 2 this time for all the marbles?
You know, I was going to go all analysts and let's be smart about this ESPN and we're doing a show. Football gods, you've given me so much up until this point. I just want this so bad. And I know what it's going to mean. I know that it means that the Dallas Cowboys won't be in the Super Bowl. But if we ever needed anything coming out of a pandemic and still dealing with a pandemic, we need the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New England Football gods, for me to your ears, I need this game to happen so bad. I want to close my eyes and just envision the week leading up. I want to hear Greeny come up with every damn stat you could possibly come up with to try to figure out how people going to win. I want to hear Bill Belichick downplay it and talk about how it's not important. It's about the players on the field. I want to see Tom Brady cry in the press conference when somebody asked him about his relationship with his dad. I want all of these things to happen. I want this Super Bowl as bad as I wanted LSU to be in the national championship when I was playing. I want it bad, y'all, because think about it for one second. Very rarely do we get debates answered for real. Very rarely in sports. Jordan, LeBron, we never will see them play against each other for all of it. to get Brady and Belichick in the Super Bowl after we've talked for 3 years, 2 years about who's responsible for the success, when we talked about who is the best out of the two. And yeah, we try to dumb it down and we know it's about the coach and the player, but this is something we need in the NFL. And I know the NFL has given to us a lot, but we may not need anything more than we need this, fellas. I'm just telling you, man, it's two outcomes to this season. It's the Cowboys in the Super Bowl, or it's Tampa and the Patriots, and I think I prefer Tampa and the Patriots.
He's so selfless in his prayer.
No, that's how they get answered. When you're selfless, that prayers get answered. He's selfless. He's giving up the Cowboys for the betterment of all of us.
I'm making a sacrifice, but I'm with you. Like, my mind immediately goes to analyst mode, where it's like, it's a coach, a quarterback. They're not actually going one-on-one. They're not going in the octagon, but I can't help it. It is just too pulpy. I'll be so excited about this matchup, I would fall into all the cliches, and I don't care.
You might have seen it on the screen. RFPI says that the Bucs would be a 2-point favorite on a neutral field. The Super Bowl will be in LA. We'll see what happens. All right, in the meantime, let's go on the clock with a few other things around the sport here. Get 30 seconds on there for me, please, Cindy, and let us come with Dominique first. Neek, who is going to win the MVP? You got 30 seconds. Go.
Tom Brady.
Yup.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to say someone else. I racked my brain to make an argument for some other person. I think potentially you could say Aaron Rodgers, but I mean, what Tom Brady is doing right now is outstanding, and he's not been his best self, but in a season where no one is, like, it's hard to not give it to Tom Brady the way he's playing.
It feels like a likelihood at this point. If he wins it, it would be his fourth all time. Jeff, let me come to you. Which team is the most underrated in the National Football League right now? 30 seconds, go.
Indianapolis Colts. And it's not, listen, hey, y'all
going
to stay on my homer. Second hottest team in the AFC. Listen, they started, had a bunch of injuries. They battled back. They gave one away against Tampa Bay. Carson Wentz, y'all, is playing lights out. He gives them a chance. Jonathan Taylor, who you could put in that MVP conversation
I'm not going to.
I like where this thing is, and they're flying under the radar. They're underrated. I'm just here to remind everybody about that horseshoe.
I'm shocked.
They're not underrated.
Everyone is talking about that. No, but you got them low on the list.
I tell you what, as underrated as the Jets, no one's giving them any credit for anything.
Also appropriately.
Swagoo. Yes, all the references today have been predictable. Swagoo, what's the most overrated team in the NFL? 30 seconds, go.
Hurts my heart to say this. It's the Baltimore Ravens, y'all.
Yeah.
And listen, I will give this team so much credit if the bottom doesn't fall out towards the end of this season. And I know Lamar Jackson can turn into a superhuman and win some games and keep this team in some games down the stretch. I think this attrition is finally going to catch up to them. Like, it's an unfortunate season for the Baltimore Ravens when it comes to injuries. We look at their record and we see they're one in the division, but we don't believe that. We just talked about it with the Cincinnati Bengals. Foxy put leave me the hell alone. I'm scared that it's the Ravens that's overrated at this point.
Look,
and all of their fault.
No, their season should have been destroyed in training camp.
Yeah.
Like the injuries they suffered before the season began. It's a credit to them that they are where they are at this point. All right, as we continue, we got Dak, we got Zeke, we got the Cowboys traveling to D.C. this weekend. We'll tell you why this is the biggest game of the week and exactly what's at stake next. Get up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back with Overreaction Tuesday, part two. Dan Graziano was here. This is some stuff that people around the sport may be saying.
We don't jump around for this.
No. We don't get ourselves quite as hyped up. This is the more cerebral segment. If someone were to say the Patriots will represent the yes, yes.
One
and
leg.
Now you know why we don't do it. If someone were to say the Patriots will represent the AFC in the Super Bowl, would that be an overreaction?
No, they're the one seed. I mean, they would be the favorite. They'd be the only ones that get a bye. They get to play all their games at home. Of course, it's not an overreaction. I mean, this is I think it's one of the surprises of the season. Like, we're used to crediting Belichick, and we should. But to be this good this quickly, I don't think anybody really saw that come.
Now, Patriots off to the great start, and they get the win last night. Next, if someone were to say Russell Wilson will be the quarterback in New Orleans next year,
like that.
Would that be an overreaction?
No, I don't think it's an overreaction. Look, the biggest impediment would be New Orleans' perpetually horrendous salary cap situation. But if you could work with that, Russell Wilson, I think it's almost certainly going to be elsewhere. New Orleans needs a quarterback. Sean Payton obviously must be dreaming of what he could do with Russell Wilson. Not an overreaction, very possible.
And that's one of the teams that Wilson's agent has said he would be interested to play on. So, okay, I'm with you on that one. One more. If someone were to say Washington is going to catch the Cowboys and win the NFC East, would that be an overreaction?
Yes. Dallas is the better team, I think, by a pretty wide margin. And what Washington's doing right now has been a lot of fun to watch. And credit to them, maybe they get one of the wild card spots. But I continue to think that the fact that the Cowboys and Washington have two head-to-head matchups left is a better thing for the Cowboys than it is for Washington. They're getting healthier. They're going to be the better rested team this week when they go into Washington. I think Dallas pulls away and wins this somewhat easily.
All right, well, so I hear you on the second part of that. The fact that Washington gets their crack at them at least means they can control their
100%.
Own destiny to some degree. But yeah, be careful what you wish for. Dallas is still in control of the NFC East, but it's not the runaway we thought that it looked like a couple of weeks ago. Washington just two games back, and as Dan mentioned, you got the two head-to-head matchups remaining, and that begins this Sunday in our nation's capital, which is a fascinating game. And so, Swagoo, let me ask you an honest question. I'm giving you a little truth serum, putting some truth serum in that coffee for you this morning. How nervous are you getting about the possibility that Washington is actually going to take this division away from your beloved Cowboys?
Truth serum, 100%, not at all. All right? I would be shocked if the Washington football team took the division away from the Dallas Cowboys. Like absolute shock. Because when you think about this division, and look, we cannot dismiss what the Washington football team has done over the last 4 weeks. They played well. They've done a phenomenal job defensively, looking like they're getting back to some of what we thought they would be. But the Dallas Cowboys are the better football team, and you can make a hard argument that I would go on the side of the Dallas Cowboys defense being better than the Washington football team's defense. Yeah, they give up some big plays, they give up some chunks at times, but from a defensive standpoint, this team turns the football over. They give their offense more opportunities. The thing we've been talking about with the Cowboys has been their offense. Mm-hmm. And their defense has gotten better over that time, and they're getting players back. So I would be shocked if the Washington football team came out and beat the Dallas Cowboys two times to win this division and take it over, in all honesty. And I believe this offense is going to get back on track this week as well. But that's just me.
Let me come to you here because you were making the point. If this is a game Sunday, late in the third quarter, early in the fourth quarter, what happens?
Yeah, Cowboys going to tighten up. I mean, listen, this is, you know, and I agree with Swagoo and his point about the complete, you know, team that the Cowboys have. But they haven't played like this dominant team that we saw on their six-game winning streak when they were leading the league and rushing the football. You know, when you think about this football team, you think ground and pound and playing physical and Dak's going to carry them and then defense kind of secondary. All that's flipped. Their defense has carried them in the last win, and you see what they're trying to do. It's concerning because here's the deal. When you look at the Washington football team, their wins, which do include Tampa Bay, by the way, they held the ball 40 minutes to 20 minutes. That's their average in this little win streak. You keep the ball away from that Dallas high-powered offense. They're like every high-powered offense, which I played on. You get real tight when you won't get a lot of touches. That's going to be Ron Rivera's plan.
Yeah, I mean, I understand your point, and I do think that you're right. The way that they play ball is probably the way that's going to give the Cowboys the most trouble, but they don't have enough talent. So we've seen the Cowboys are kind of built to have an offense that scores a lot and a defense that's ready to get after the passer and cover, not a team that's built to stop the run. So I agree with you. if there was more talent on Washington's team, I would agree. But you say at the end of the game, Dallas is going to get tight. What do you think going to happen to Taylor Heinicke? Like, he hasn't been in the same moments as Dak has been in. He hasn't been in the same big moments as these Cowboys. As much as we talk about the Cowboys, every week is a big game because the country cares about
them. He played well enough last year to take Tampa in a playoff run. He's playing with house money.
Go ahead, Jeff, here's my problem with what you're saying. Here's my problem with what you're saying, Jeff, and I understand what you're saying. But didn't we watch Dak Prescott lead the offense to a lead against the Las Vegas Raiders in crunch time situation?
Yeah.
And in this game last week, we saw Trayvon Morrig drop an interception to end the game against the Washington football team. Yeah. I'm not talking about an interception that was tipped or in his hands, dropped the football. So I get it. I understand what you're saying. But saying that the Cowboys are going to get tight when they played the same team and the Cowboys quarterback took the ball down the field to take the lead, and we saw the Washington football team quarterback throw what should have been an interception. Right. And you saying that going to get tight and you believe in Heinicke more. I can't subscribe to that, Jeff Saturday.
I said the team as a whole.
For what it's worth, the Raiders beat the Cowboys in Dallas and then lost to Washington in Vegas. It is what it is, whatever the plays were.
It was 900 penalties in that game.
We got the 27th annual Jimmy V Classic tonight. ESPN, the ESPN app. We got Texas Tech taking on Tennessee. That's the early game. Then the old rivals squaring off. Villanova and Syracuse will go head-to-head. Bill Belichick, his discipline might have been the most impressive part of their win last night. First Take talking about it, top of the hour on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
All right, what a lineup we have for you Saturday. UCLA, UConn, and the women's basketball in the Never Forget Tribute Classic, 1 Eastern on ABC. Then the 26th MLS Cup, the Timbers taking on NYCFC. 8 Eastern on ESPN, it's the Heisman. And 10 Eastern, UFC 269 is on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. That is a lineup with a little bit for everybody. We hope you enjoy it this weekend. And before we finish, the question is being asked, Jeff Saturday, what exactly is going on in this picture? Was Dan Orlovsky pregnant, or what exactly happened?
No, let me tell you exactly what happened right here. I had given him the game ball because it was his first win of his career. So I'm handing it to him saying, we might not get any more of these, bro. Protect it. I got a ton of them. I've been around a little bit. This is your first one. Take it home. We have that picture in the office. I mean, it's just that kind of day.
Swagoo. You guys put that up on NFL Live today? Got to show it to your buddy.
Definitely.
No words.
Well, no words. Quarterback.
I think we lost Marcus. All right, it's been great fun today. Thank you, everybody, for getting up. We'll see you tomorrow. The fun continues with First Take now.